we see, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. As He wills. So I want you to mark those words, remember those words, the Holy Spirit distributing to each one individually as He wills. So the Holy Spirit chooses, sovereignly decides who gets what, how they get. We don't choose a gift. We don't select a gift. The Holy Spirit gives the gift to us. We see also that the gifts are given very specifically. In 1 Corinthians 12, verses 8 to 10, let me read that. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. So we see in these verses how specifically the Holy Spirit gives these gifts. So I think it's a good thing to take a step back and look at what is the meaning of a spiritual gift. What is a gift? Right? We looked at the fruit of the Spirit, right? We've been studying it, and we just went through a really, you know, blessed time of looking at the fruit of the Spirit on Wednesday evenings. But what is a spiritual gift? Now, it's good to know what exactly it is, so we know where it fits in our lives. It is a God-given ability for service, for the profit of all. So important to know that it's not an office. It's not an office or position that a few privileged people enjoy. It is a God-given ability for service, for the profit of all. And it's not limited to a particular location. For example, the gift of teaching is not limited to, let's say, a teacher who is limited to Edmunds Lane Bible Chapel, where his teaching is used. A teacher who is gifted by the Holy Spirit can use that gift, or rather should use that gift, in different assemblies, different states, different countries, anywhere where the Spirit leads, that gift can be used and should be used for the benefit of all, for the profit of all. Why? Because it is a God-given gift or ability for the use of encouraging other believers, other people, for the blessing and the profit of all. It is a God-given ability to communicate the truth. So that it helps to know what a gift is, especially where, you know, sometimes there may be some confusion about, you know, for example, the gift of pastoring, right? So it's not necessarily a gift of a pastor, but pastoring can be given to different people to exercise that gift. Okay, why is this stuck? Give me 1 second. Okay, so who gets these spiritual gifts and how is it distributed? Now, every Christian does have some gift or gifts. Some people may have one gift and some may have more than one. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So we saw earlier that a gift is given by the Holy Spirit for a specific purpose to use for the benefit of all, not something that we keep to ourselves, right? It's a gift that has to be used, has to be utilized for the benefit of all. So, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold. So, we were looking at stewardship earlier. So, being faithful, being a faithful steward is also regarding the gift or gifts that God has given. So, a faithful steward of what God has given to us for the benefit of all. And also, every Christian has a gift, and it's good to find out what that gift is by prayer and meditation on the Word of God, by praying with older believers who are encouraging or mentors to you. just to pray and find out what is this gift that God has given to me, to use that. So some gifts were specifically for the beginning of the church. Apostles and prophets appear to be limited to the early church. Ephesians 2:20, we see, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So that foundation has been built. That foundation exists. That foundation is there, the foundation of the apostles and prophets. And they had a very, very major role. But we see that the chief cornerstone is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The most important aspect of that foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ. Because everything in that, if you think of a foundation, if you think of a cornerstone, everything is aligned to that cornerstone. Everything, the rest of the foundation and then the rest of the building, everything has to be aligned to that chief cornerstone, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So that foundation has already been built. We don't have to build that again. So the apostles and prophets appear to be limited to the early church. And we see also that the first generation saw a lot of signs and miracles in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him, the disciples, the apostles? God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. Now, if you read the book of Acts and the life and the activities of, I'd like to say, the works, acts of the Holy Spirit in the first century church, we see a lot of things going on there, a lot of things happening there that we don't see today, right? And the writer to the Hebrews has validated that and mentioned that, clarified that, that God was bearing witness. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him, God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his will. So, evidently the gift of tongues, which is mentioned there in the list as one of the gifts of the Spirit, died out before the gift of prophecy was withdrawn in 1 Corinthians 12:31. But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. And this is the last verse before chapter 13, which is the chapter of love, where we are encouraged and exhorted how we use the gifts that God has given. So earnestly desire the best gifts, but I show you a more excellent way. So any gift, even though it was given, let's say, in the past, in maybe 2,000 years ago, in which maybe we don't see today like was seen then, it was for the entire church, was for the benefit of the church. It was there, and the church was born on the day of Pentecost, and we can be blessed and encouraged and be benefited by those gifts, even though they may not be active and prevalent today like they were in those days. So what are the gifts? Romans chapter 12, verses 6 to 8. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Now, going through those lists in this portion and even the one in 1 Corinthians 12, we see many that we don't see too much of today. But we see that there are some that maybe, for example, the gift of mercy, a gift that everyone can have, right? So there are certain gifts that are very, very specific and certain gifts that are more general or more predominantly or prevalently seen. And the ministering, we see our ministry, let us use it in our ministering. So here we have a list that I have put together from these verses. There may be more, but it's important to note that these, whatever gifts that there are, those that are here and maybe those that I may not have included here, has to be validated in Scripture. Apostleship, prophecy, miracles, healing, tongues, evangelism, pastoring, ministering, and ministering, the word here is helps. Teaching, faith, exhortation, discerning spirits, knowledge, showing mercy, giving, and administration. So it's good to know what the gifts are. Because once you know what the gifts are of the Holy Spirit, it's only then that we can intelligently pray about that, can't we? Because sometimes, I think in our circles, I may be wrong, but in our circles we don't pay too much attention to searching or examining what gift do I have? What gift has God given to me? What is the gift that the Holy Spirit has blessed me with or given to me? Because I think it's our duty and responsibility to find out what that gift is, because we have to use it. We have to be faithful stewards of the gift that God has given to us. We have a responsibility. So how do I develop my spiritual gifts? The Holy Spirit is, of course, the source, but we do have a responsibility to develop these gifts. In 1 Corinthians 12:31, but earnestly desire the best gifts, but yet I show you a more excellent way. So there is an aspect of us desiring, of wanting to be used by the Lord with that special or specific gift that He has blessed or endowed us with. So our zeal, our desires, our self-discipline do play a role in developing God-given gifts. And in Romans 1:11, the Apostle Paul writes, for I long to see you, talking to the Romans in his letter, that I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift so that you may be established. So the Apostle knows the gifts he has, and he knows the Lord is using him, and he longs and desires to be used by God the way that God wants to use him. And he longs to share some of that to the believers at Rome in order that they might be established, they might grow, they may be strengthened. And that's the aspect of discipleship, of mentoring, of teaching, of encouraging another believer to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So how do I develop my spiritual gifts? By waiting on the Lord, by praying, by meditation, by zeal, our desire, and our self-discipline, and the study of the Word of God. So I was alluding to this earlier. How do I know what my spiritual gifts are? And like I was mentioning, be informed. Know what the spiritual gifts are. And, you know, it's good to know that, you know, the gifts that we have listed in the Bible, you know, we have to be careful to differentiate them from talents or skills that person have, which are common to people who are talented, who practice, who train. You know, somebody, let's say, who is an excellent vocalist or a musician. You know, true, those may be avenues, those may be channels, those may be vehicles for the use of the gifts that God has given. But remember that, you know, that's what it is. And because there may be somebody who's not a believer, who might be even extremely talented or gifted in a particular thing, but that is not a gift of the Holy Spirit. They can be channels or vehicles for the use of spiritual gifts. So be informed what they are from the Word of God, of course, and be willing to do anything for the Lord. Be willing to do anything for the Lord. So I think we might miss out on this by not being involved in the church activities, in the church meetings. So I think we miss out by not being present at the church meetings. We miss out big time by not being there. You know, we have to be there to be able to know what I can do or what I have that I can do, what God has given to me that I can do, right? So missing out sometimes by being too busy. I'm guilty of this. You know, sometimes we get so caught up in things that are not necessarily bad, you know, can be good things, can be work and, you know, other responsibilities and so on. But we get so busy with those things that we don't have the time to be used the way God intended us to use that gift that He has given to us, right? So don't be too busy. I don't think people have told you this, have they? Everyone tells you to be busy, work hard, do this, do that, but that can be a problem with that if we get so busy that we're not able to be involved in the things of God. Be active in the Lord's work. If you have a gift, And you know what a gift, what your gift is? Use it. We have a responsibility, a requirement to use a gift that God has given to us. Something that is not used, you lose it, right? Don't use it, you lose it. Being active in one gift may lead to the discovery of others. We see this in the example of Philip. In Acts 6 and verse 5, we see that he was, that was a time where he was, the early church was getting, bigger and bigger, and there was a problem. It was a good problem, and that problem was ministering to the widows, right? And so that was the issue that was there, and the church leaders met, and they decided, okay, we need to select certain people who are full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And so they selected people who were responsible for taking care of that responsibility. So obviously they had the gift of administration. They had the gift of maybe financial ability. They had those gifts. So Philip was one of them, a gift of service. And he was selected by the saints there. And he was used by the Lord. And so also was Stephen, who was also one of that group. But later, I believe as he was faithful in what he was doing, the Lord also added to him the gift of evangelism. And he's known as Philip the Evangelist because of how well known he is for that, probably even more than his, the earlier service that he was involved in. And we see in Acts 5, right, that he was taken by the Holy Spirit to preach in Samaria. And Samaria was a very, very busy city, a lot of people. You can compare it to one of the cities of today. And so that is where the Holy Spirit took him to preach in Samaria among the Samaritans. And then one might think, oh, he's an evangelist to the cities, to the busy people. But then we see the Holy Spirit takes him to the desert places. And there he meets the Ethiopian eunuch. And, long story short, he shares, explains the word to him, and that Ethiopian is saved. And he goes on to his place, and the Holy Spirit snatches Philip and takes him away from there. So we see how the Holy Spirit used Philip in such a way, starting as in service in the local assembly, and then on to other things. So be active in the Lord's work. Be active in what the Lord has given to you in the gift, the ability for His purpose to be used among His people that God has given. And he might add other things also. So how do I know what my spiritual gifts are? By being informed, by being willing to do anything for the Lord, by being active in the Lord's work and being present. I'm reminded of Paul when he talks about Titus, right? He was there and he needed Titus. For some reason, he missed the presence of Titus in that group. I think you know what I'm talking about. So, and he documents that, I missed Titus. So even your presence, you may not be doing much, but just your presence can mean a lot to somebody else. An encouragement, a support, to know that my brother or my sister is there, he's backing me up, she's backing me up. Just that assurance, that confidence, that encouragement. I missed Titus. So the filling of the Spirit, what exactly does this mean? We hear about this a lot. What does this mean? How often does a person need to be filled? Are there certain conditions to be filled? And what are the results of being filled by the Spirit? We read about people in the Old Testament, right, who were filled by the Spirit and who did this and did that and so on. We read about Samson, we looked at that earlier, was filled with the Spirit and he went and he tore that lion that came charging against him, just as one would tear a young kid, right? Samson and all the other things that he did. And then we see about Saul, who even prophesied. He started well, he ended badly, but in his early days, he was filled with the Spirit and he prophesied. And they even said, it's Saul also among the prophets. So people in the Old Testament, what does it mean to us to be filled with the Spirit? So Ephesians 5:18, and do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation. That's a New King James. And the King James uses that word as excess. And the debauchery is another word that's used for that word. Do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation or debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. be filled with the Spirit. Now, have you wondered, why is this example used here? Why is the example of alcohol used in comparison with the effect of being filled with the Holy Spirit? Why is it there? And you all remember the, you know, what happened in the first century, right, when they were filled with the Spirit at Pentecost, that people wondered, are these people drunk, right? Are these people drunk? So it the communication to them was, oh, these people must be drunk, because number one, they are not behaving like themselves. They are behaving strangely. They're behaving in an odd way. They are not behaving like what we normally know them to behave as. And they are not maybe paying attention to things that they need to pay attention to. Now, if you think about being under the effect or under the influence of alcohol, you know, I deal with this every day, and there are so many people that I work with who are alcoholics. And, you know, and you talk to them, and the vast majority of them, they won't acknowledge that they are alcoholics or that it's a problem. They'll say, oh, I can stop if I want to. I just drink a little here and there. But you can see what it's doing to their lives, right? It's causing them to have a disruption in their family lives. I've seen so many time and time again where the family life is disrupted because of alcohol, you know, and there's unhappiness in the marital relationship with the children, and there's broken homes. They lose their jobs. They lose their credibility in society. They can even cause death by drunken driving and cause death to themselves. And all the horrible things can happen to somebody who is constantly under the influence of alcohol. It takes over. They do things that they not normally are. You know, and many a time when I talk to the spouse and I ask them, what's going on here? The wife will say, oh, this is not the man I married. He's totally different now. When we initially got married, he was so kind and caring and gentle, and he was a good homemaker. He was a good job earner, would bring money to the home and take care of the home and all the expenses. But now he's totally out of control. I cannot control him. I cannot manage with him like this. And it kind of takes over. He's not himself. Why am I saying all this? Just to say that, you know, the Bible is using that comparison where the Holy Spirit, now alcohol, debauchery, in a negative sense, takes control, takes over. But when the Holy Spirit takes over in a very healthy, positive, morally high and, you know, value to a person, the Holy Spirit can take over to be exactly what God intended us to be. Not our normal selves, right? Not going from day to day doing our normal routines, but just filled with the Spirit to do things that God wants us to do. I don't know if any of us have had that experience, right? Question to think about, which means, have there been times where I've been filled? Well, it may not always be in that sense, but there has been different aspects of being under the control, being filled. They do things that are unnatural to them, right? Be filled is a command. It's not just, okay, be filled if you want to, but it says be filled, right? 5:18, do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, a command to all believers, not just for a select few, but for all to lead a normal Christian life. Now, a normal Christian life is not necessarily a normal, day-to-day life, right? It's something special, something unique. And something to think about. How often do we see this? So be filled is in the present continuous. Keep on being filled, a repeated experience. And we see this in the life of the apostles. You know, coming to the question of how often should this happen? It should happen often. It's a repeated experience. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, this was what happened on the day of Pentecost. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And what they saw was they started speaking in different tongues, which they'd never done before. Now, the speaking in tongues there, again, was not just, you know, as, okay, you know what, I speak in tongues. I did this. I can do this. No, this was at that time, it was very necessary. It was very useful. It was beneficial because there were a lot of people gathered there and they all heard what was being preached, what was being taught, what's being said in their own language. So the gospel was preached. The gospel message reached out. So that was the purpose, one of the purposes of them being filled. In Acts 4:31, we see after the first prayer meeting of the early church, and we see the indication there in Acts 4:31. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. They spoke the word of God with boldness. So we see that in the, if you look at the context, you see that this was a time where they had been commanded by the authorities not to preach in the name of Jesus Christ anymore. Strong commands. They were beaten, they were punished, and they were sent away and said, because they couldn't really find what to do with them. They said, okay, we'll let you go, but please don't preach in the name of Jesus anymore, right? So we were hearing about persecution, right? So in many a time, if we do what the authorities have commanded us not to do, there will be persecution. You know, just as a side note, we were watching a video the other day of, there was an LGBTQ, there was an LGBTQ parade going on in a major city. And there were two young African-American men. And they were preaching. They were standing out there with a microphone and loud and clear for all to hear. Some of you, I think, are nodding, have probably heard it or seen it. And they were boldly proclaiming the gospel message to all the parade that is going by. I don't know what happened to them, whether they got arrested or whether they got... That calls for persecution, right? How many of us would do that? To go out into the public place, go out into the city, go out into the main street, take a loudspeaker, take a microphone and proclaim the word of God. I think even today, here in this country, in this city, we would be arrested. The Gideons, you know, we are not allowed to go into schools to distribute New Testaments or Bibles. They would not do that. They would not allow that. So the Gideons stand outside the school premises on the roads to give a New Testament to the kids coming out of the school. And in fact, in my neighborhood, there was somebody who sent this, you know, this neighborhood news, right? They sent this message out there. Be careful. The Gideons are out there giving out Bibles. Watch out for your kids. Tell them to be prepared and not to accept any, or not to be apprehended by them or get and take anything from them. So that is what we have come to, right? Where, you know, even here, there's so much restriction. There can be persecution if we go against that, right? So there was a purpose. So they, after the first prayer meeting, the authorities told them, don't preach in his name anymore. But what did they pray for? They prayed for boldness. And that was the indication, right? They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness after they were told not to do that. So the purpose we see of the filling here was that they might be able to proclaim and preach the word of God with boldness in spite of the instructions not to do so. So something to think about. You know, in our day, I think we've all got so used to a comfortable lifestyle where, you know, we have these limits. I'm as guilty as anybody else. You know, one of my colleagues lost her job at work because she, you know, shared the word to a patient. And so it calls for courage. It calls for boldness to proclaim the word of God, even today in our circles, in our situations, in our settings. You know, I know Brother Clifford goes to various places. He goes to the prison. He goes to, very poor, cities and, you know, backward areas, even in Dallas, and goes to places where, anything can happen. Anything can happen. You know, and very often we wonder, we are afraid, oh, what's going to happen to me if I go here? What's going to happen if I go there? Right? You can be arrested. You can be persecuted. You can be beaten. You could be killed. You know, but it's something to, I mean, it's been an eye-opener to me to see, you know, where I think how far we have gone, right, away from maybe the things that we could do. I think we want to really wait on the Lord to pray for His guidance, for His help, for courage and strength to help us to be what He wants us to be and live the life that He wants us to live. We have in many areas, many a time failed Him. May He enable us, strengthen us and keep us and help us to do what He wants us to do. I think I'm way behind, but I will continue next Sunday. And we'll go on to the next portions of this, the spirit, the work of the Spirit in the believer's life. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we do praise You and thank You, Lord, for all that You are, all that You have done. Father, as we consider the tremendous gift of the Holy Spirit that You have given to us, as You have promised in Scripture, You promised it to Your disciples, and He came on the day of Pentecost to the disciples gathered there, and He has come to each one of our hearts when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and received You as Lord and Savior of our lives. Father, we praise You and thank You that we have this blessed person of the Trinity who is a person who is also fully divine, who is God, who is living in us. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in us. Enable us, O Lord, to be used by You the way that You want to use us. Father, we confess that we have failed in many areas. We confess, Lord, that many a time we like to point fingers, but we know that we ourselves have failed in so many areas, Lord. Help us to be true. Help us to be faithful. Help us to be used by You the way that You want to use us, Lord, in spite of consequences, in spite of situations, Lord. And we know, Lord, that the COVID situation has caused so much disruption of the normal way in things in which things have been done. But people have not even been able to meet, to gather to meet in place of worship, to worship You and praise You. Father, help us, Lord, that we may not fall prone to the subtleties of Satan as he is roaring around as a lion seeking whom he may devour. That we may be available to be used by You, Father, the way that You want to use us. Glorifying Your name in all that we do, think, and say. Help us, Lord, through the rest of this day. Pray for the Watermill Ministry. Pray for the VBS starting tomorrow. Thank You that that Juan and Dawn are here. We pray, Lord, that You will tremendously bless that ministry, Lord, that many children may come and many may be saved and may go on to live for You. Thank You, Father, for all Your kindness and goodness to us. We pray this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.